the wedding in Cana and turned water into wine. And the Bible tells us here in verse 12 that after this wedding and miracle, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? And he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So his disciples remembered. It's our title. Let's pray. Lord, use your word now to teach and guide us and bless our hearts. We just pray that we can leave here having been touched by the Holy Spirit through the powerful word of God, and that Jesus Christ will have been magnified. We pray that you would meet with us, and we love you so much and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So as we see, Jesus had gone to the wedding, performed this first miracle of turning the water into wine, and from there they went to another place for a short time, and from there they went back to Jerusalem. It was Passover time, and Jesus found the money changers in the temple. Most of us know this story quite well. And Jesus Christ was angry because they had turned this whole system into a money-making scheme. So it wasn't wrong that they were selling these animals, because actually that was something that God established in the Old Testament, that if there was someone who had to travel from a long distance to come to the temple and make a sacrifice, rather than carrying a dead lamb on their shoulder for 3 days, it would get quite smelly, or even carrying a live lamb can be a bit of a challenge, God allowed them to come and purchase, to instead either sell the lamb at home and bring money and then purchase a lamb at the temple and then sacrifice that animal. And that was all okay. But what was happening here is they were now using it as a money-making scheme. These people who were changing or exchanging money for animals were making a profit, and they turned it into a business. And that's what angered Christ, is they had, as he said, they had made it a thing of merchandise. So they had taken something that was supposed to be a spiritual thing and to be a blessing to God's people and to the Lord, and turned it into a business that Christ did not approve of. If you go to Isaiah 56, we'll see the scripture that was quoted here. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. This is a very important verse and good for all of us to remember as we reflect upon what we refer to as the house of the Lord today, which is the church. In 56 verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. So in the other Gospels, when Jesus turned over the money changers' tables, God quoted this scripture, and he said, my house shall be a house of prayer. And so what he's saying is, you've taken this place, which is a place to come and pray and focus on the Lord, and you've turned it into an opportunity to make money as a business. And Christ was very, very disappointed in this. Now, since Pentecost, we are now the temple of the Lord. Amen? The Holy Spirit lives in us. God in the person of the Holy Spirit indwells us. We are now God's temple. And so what can we learn from this? That God's temple is important. If you go to 1 Corinthians 3:16, God wants his temple to be maintained as a spiritual temple. Well, we are a temple. And the Bible says we can either live in the spirit or we can live in the flesh. We both know which one of those two things God wants, because we are the temple of the Spirit. We are God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And so as we reflect back on that verse in Isaiah 56, what does that teach us? That God wants our temple to be a house of prayer. That He wants us to be Christians who spend time with their Lord in prayer. And we've, of course, looked at those verses in the Sunday school. All those verses that talk about praying continually, evening and morning at noon and so forth. He spake a parable of men ought always to pray. And all those verses that talk about how important that we just keep praying and spending time with the Lord. One of the reasons for that is we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And God wants our temple to be a house of prayer, not a instrument of sin. And if you go to Romans 8, God talks about this difference. Depending on who we choose to yield to, God wants our temple to be a spiritual temple. Notice Romans 8:5, "They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God." So what is God saying? He wants us to be in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So great spiritual lesson there, Christ is teaching. Now, back to our passage here in John 2. It says here in verse 17, "His disciples remembered." They remembered this truth, and they also, there is Psalm 69:9 where it says, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." His disciples remembered these spiritual lessons and the Old Testament prophecies that led to this event that Christ was trying to teach. So the response of the Jews was, "Where do you get the authority to do this?" Turning over these money changers' tables. And if you look at some of the other Gospels, he actually even had a whip and drove them out. So, you know, Christ was obviously a man's man. He actually got a whip and was chasing these profiteers out of the temple. That's Jesus Christ did that. And so they asked, "What sign? Show us a sign that you have the authority to do what you just did." And what sign does Jesus give? "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up." Or raise it up, sorry. What's he saying? He's not talking about the building, but Christ often would do this, wouldn't he, and give a double meaning. He's talking about his body. And saying that if you destroy this body, I'll rise again. Which, of course, he did after 3 days and three nights. Verse 21, "He spake of the temple of his body." Christ many times said, "This it will be. You want a sign? Here's my sign. The sign is going to be my resurrection, my death, burial, and resurrection," which is the heart of the gospel, isn't it? The Apostle Paul said that the gospel which we preach unto you, that Christ died and was buried and rose again the third day. But the second time here now, we have this phrase here in verse 22, "When therefore he was risen from the dead." Not now, but later, it says his disciples remembered. So here we have that phrase twice in this passage, his disciples remembered. But this truth, they didn't remember until after the event. So at this particular time, they don't necessarily understand what Christ is saying. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us so. That they just didn't understand it. If you go to Matthew 12, we'll see where Jesus made it very clear that he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. The Bible says, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You know, the Bible says the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. It's always the Jews that were wanting a sign. So Jesus said, I will give you one sign, my resurrection, my death, burial, and resurrection. The disciples, they did not understand. I'll show you in Luke 18, if you want to turn there, that at this point, they did not understand what Christ was teaching. And they wouldn't until after it happened. And that's what this is saying. After he rose from the dead, they understood and remembered. Notice Luke 18:33. And they shall... 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Now I'll ask you a question. Is that pretty clear about what was going to happen? That Jesus Christ was going to die and rise again? And I look at verse 34. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. So to teach that the disciples before the resurrection got saved by believing in the future death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is just silly. They didn't understand. They didn't understand it until after it happened. And that's what our passage here in John 2 is telling us. It says, verse 22, when he was risen from the dead, then his disciples remembered. After it happened, then it made sense to them. It says that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. But they didn't believe it until after it happened. They remembered, Christ told us. Way back at the beginning of his ministry, when he overturned those tables and drove those merchandisers out of the temple, he told us, destroy this temple and in 3 days it'll be raised up again. Now we get it, but not until after it happened. And the Romans put the stone on the tomb, and what did the disciples do? They ran and hid. They didn't say, praise God, Jesus just died for our sins. No, they ran and hid. And then when the women returned and told the disciples they met Jesus, what'd they say? You saw a spirit, or she's mad. But 500 Christians witnessed his ascension back into heaven. And this sign, if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, is the sign. And it is even the sign for us, isn't it? That if Christ didn't die and rise from the dead, then, as Paul says here, we're wasting our time, essentially. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:12. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. If the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If our only hope is this life, what he's saying is, and Christ didn't rise from the dead, then we shouldn't be in church. We shouldn't be serving the Lord. We're most miserable. Of course, Christ did rise from the dead, praise God, and we get to spend forever with him. But this is the sign. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that what? God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So it says the disciples remembered. They remembered the Old Testament prophecy about the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, about my house shall be called a house of prayer. They remembered that part of Christ driving them out. But then when he gave his answer to where do you get the authority to do this and what sign will you show, he said, I'm going to show you one sign. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rise it up. That one they didn't understand until after it happened. And then they remembered. And now we can remember every day that Jesus died and rose again for our sins. Praise the Lord.